Hello and welcome back to From 350 to A0, where we slow down a little and just have a little chat. Hello and welcome back to another episode. An early one this time before the Miami Grand Prix, because I literally found some stuff on yesterday's night, which I, like, as soon as I found it on Twitter, I went on here and literally recorded it. So you're going to hear that first, and then we're just going to slowly get into what else I wanted to say. So let's just get straight into it. Also, don't mind me being, like, really mad. Like, really, really mad in the beginning of this episode, because I was really tired yesterday. And it was like 1 a.m.-ish or something. And I was recording and being mad because of what I saw. So, it's gonna get better. I'm sorry for being a hater. Like, I really am, because I kind of popped off. But I am sorry, so it will get better. Just listen through it. If you don't want to listen to that, skip it. But yeah, now let's go and hear what I had to say yesterday. Hell nah, bro. Hell nah. What the hell is this? Because, like, it's 1 a.m. Like, literally now. But the things that I found on Twitter is shocking. And honestly, April 1st was last month. Like, let me read it out to you. Quote unquote, by the fastest pit stop, Brad Pitt will be driving a real F1 car alongside the other 20 drivers starting at Silverstone. Jerry Bruckheimer and Joseph Kosinski will enter an 11 team to be able to film on track scenes for their F1 movie for the rest of the season. The car has been designed by Mercedes and is already testing, as are their actors in sim and real life. Lewis Hamilton is in daily communication and is advising on storyline and script to ensure it's the most accurate racing film ever made. And honestly, what does this even mean? Like, what does this actually mean? Is, like, what? What? Like, Brad Pitt, he's driving an actual F1 car, first of all, so he has to have a license or special permission or something like that from the FIA. And, like, Colton Herta? I think it was. He tweeted that basically Brad Pitt is, he got his license sooner than he did. Which is, like, it's funny when you actually think about it, because the FIA probably, like, he probably needed a license or special permission or something like that, which I think the FIA probably given him the special permission. Because, like, we all know how hard it is to get a license, like, racing license in Formula One. And now suddenly Brad Pitt has one. I don't believe that. Anyways, the second thing, the 11th team. What does that mean? What, like, an 11 team, quote, in, like, in commas, quote unquote, 11 team? Like, what does that even mean? Are we getting an 11th team on the grid from Silverstone? Because I saw some other tweets which said basically from Silverstone, and throughout, like, the whole season, he will be joining races, practice sessions, what? What is he going to do on track in an actual F1 car? Like, what the fuck is happening, honestly? Like, I'm still looking at my phone, like, still reading tweets, like, literally now at this current, like, at this moment, because I don't know what to even think.
what to say. And yeah, once again, it was Colton Herta who tweeted, like, literally, Brad Pitt got a super license before me. Tough. And yeah, it is tough. Like, what's the meaning of this? And like, wait, somebody, let me actually find it. Somebody tweeted with, like, somebody made a tweet with all the questions that they have, and basically they summed it up better than I could, and I will try to find that exact tweet. I don't see where it is. Oh my god, wait. All right, wait. All right, so I found the tweet, and basically it's by @Casey_EFF01, and basically okay, he said his opinion, but the fact that this whole thing is organized by Mercedes, so the first question that basically rises from this is, who is funding this? If Mercedes is funding this, then from what money are they doing this? Is this money going to be included in the cost cap? Is it not going to be included? Like, what the hell? Because as it was mentioned before, basically Lewis Hamilton is really, like, closely following this whole shooting of the movie to make the movie actually, like, realistic and accurate to Formula One, and which, like, is great. Like, it's really great, but at the same time, like, who's funding this whole idea? Because, I mean, the cars are designed by Mercedes, so they have to be funded by Mercedes then. But is the money, like, is the sums going to be included in the cost cap? Or is it like, oh, okay, let's just let them do that because it's for a movie, so it doesn't count. I mean, they're still getting some sort of data from that. I don't know. That's the first question. And the creator of that tweet basically, like, said all of this, like, and I quote, they may be still able to gain some information on tires and other crucial information from running practically 3 or 4 cars, which is like, yes. And one of them is going to be driven by Brad Pitt. Like, okay. If it's going to be Brad Pitt himself, actually. Anyways, then the creator of the tweet basically raised the question, when will this take place? If it takes place during a practice session, it could happen during qualifying due to the likely possibility of Brad or whoever to be driving the car unable to keep up to the pace of the other 20 drivers, causing yellow or even more frequent red flags, which is like, yeah, if they're bringing Brad Pitt or, I don't know, somebody, because I still can't wrap my head around that Brad Pitt could actually be driving an F1 car on an actual circuit in Silverstone. And like, yeah, if it's him driving, then when is he going to do that? Because for the movie, they will probably need some sort of footage, which is of an F1 race, not just, I don't know, practice sessions or qualifying. Even though qualifying is still dangerous to let just a, I don't know, newbie, rookie on the track. Honestly, like, what the fuck is this? The more I'm reading, the more I'm thinking about it. It's so stupid. Like, honestly. Like, I probably need to be, like, calm here and try to not be a hater. I don't know, bro, but honestly, like, what the hell is this?
Like, I saw a tweet also, somebody said, oh, it's basically by Randani on Twitter, and he said, the final nail on the coffin. F1 is no longer a sport, but definitely in the entertainment realms. Confirmed. Which is, bro, he's so right. He's so right. I was talking about it before, like, the sport is not a sport anymore. It's becoming an entertainment. Like, we had the whole sprint shenanigan. Like, what the hell is that, bro? What the hell is that? Like, there was a... what was it? P1 with Matt and Tommy. They published on Twitter a poll, basically, to let people decide if they liked the sprint or if they didn't, and 78% answered that they didn't. It was the last time that I checked. It was 78%. Now, I don't actually know how many people answered that they didn't like the sprint. And honestly, I'm one of them. I am one of them. I really am. And honestly, I didn't even, like, say this enough. I didn't like the sprint. I honestly didn't, because, like, I mean, it's the same thing as qualifying, the whole sprint shootout thing, just shorter. So it's more like on the side of one-shot qualifying, but at the same time, it's not. So what's the purpose of that? And as many drivers pointed out, it's honestly just like, it doesn't matter. Because the top four teams are like in the points, and then it doesn't matter from the eighth position. So why do we need that thing? And honestly, this is where Fernando Alonso also comes in. He was asked by the media, basically... Wait. I'm gonna find the actual article where I saw that. Give me a second. All right, I found it. So basically, Alonso said, quote-unquote, if Red Bull... where not so far ahead, it is a very interesting fight with three or four teams within 0.1 to 0.2 seconds. And maybe then we would be saying the rules were a success. Maybe this is the story in a few years' time when we have some stability in the rules. End of quote. So basically, Alonso is saying, like, we need to give some time for the new, like, regulations and the rules of Formula One, and not just try to introduce new things for, I don't know, the lack of entertainment. Because, like, I mean, yeah, I get it that it gets boring. It really does. But, like, at the same time, it's a sport. It's normal. It's normal that sometimes sports get boring. In my opinion, it's like nothing in the world can be always, all the time, entertaining and like the peak of adrenaline, like, oh my God. No. Sometimes things get boring, and that's normal. And I fully agree with Alonso, like, we should give time for the new regulations to settle in, to take their, like, shape. I mean, yeah, there are some things that the regulations are kind of stupid, and we are going backwards in some, like, points. We are, like, DRS and, like, stuff like that, like, aero. There are some points which can be changed, but not, like, the majority of it, where we get things like sprint shootouts and sprints. We don't need that. Honestly, like, personally, I don't need that. Personally, I don't. If you like that, it's okay, but, like, as Fernando said, let's give some time for the rules to settle in, and then let's see how that goes. And if it's really not going anywhere, yeah, fine. Do the fucking sprint. do it. If it's that bad. If the rules are not leading anywhere, do the fucking sprint. Do the fucking sprint shootout. I don't know. Like, change the sport. Make it an entertainment show. Make it that Netflix could film everything and basically make a drama show or, like, I don't know, almost like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, because that's the direction that they're heading in. And honestly, I hate it. And honestly, just taking information for like from like this whole article is basically like he said, Alonso said, quote unquote, when he was asked why overtaking seemed harder this year, he said, I think because we are very close in terms of performance. If you remove the Red Bulls, sometimes there is just between 3rd and 16th place in first qualifying. Then eventually you finish qualifying in the order you deserve, and then in the race, how will you overtake a car in front of you that's just half a tenth quicker than you? It is your natural order. That is the main reason. End of quote. And basically, like, the biggest problem here is that Formula One, like, they were hyping up this new idea of, oh my god, the cars are going to be able to follow each other more closely. There is going to be more overtakes, more racing, like, this really pretty idea of this new Formula One, this new improved Formula One. And they hyped it up so much that we didn't even get to see that, because they hyped it too much and our expectations were too high. Which, like, the hype is, like, it's not there, because we didn't get to see anything that they hyped us for. So I do understand when Alonso says that we need to give it some time, because we were basically robbed and robbed. I'm joking, honestly, by saying that we're robbed, but we were kind of lied to of what we're getting into and what we're going to see when they said that, oh, more racing, more overtakes. So, you know, that's why the sport is boring now. It can seem to be boring. So, and honestly, in my opinion, we're not going to see this new hyped up sport, this new hyped up Formula One, till next year, or maybe till the later half of this year, when there's going to be more upgrades and like stuff like that, when Red Bull's wind tunnel time is going to kick in, when they're going to have less of it. So until then, we're not going to see this like hyped up image of Formula One, and it's going to be boring. And even though this year we might not even get to see it, we might need to wait until next year or even 2 years till we get to actually see that. So yeah, it's just a sport. It can get boring, and it will be boring at times. So if you're a true fan, no, I can't say that. Like, oh, how do I put this? How do I word this correctly so I don't insult anyone out there? Basically, like, if you actually love the sport for what it is, the sporting, like, the sport part, the actual, like, not the entertainment part, but it's a sport of engineering, that's what it is. If you actually love the idea of that, then you'll be fine. You'll definitely be fine. You'll survive the boredom, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, but you'll be fine. It's going to be entertaining. And you know what? While I'm still here, while I'm still browsing Twitter at 1:30 a.m. in the morning in my bed, What I just saw was a tweet from Sky Sports of George Russell. Like, they just can't shut up for some reason about Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton and George Russell. Like, why is Sky Sports so biased? Yes, I get it that they're British. It's a British brand. Like, Sky Sports, everyone is British there. And, like, George and Lewis are British too. But, like, can they shut the hell up? Like, for once, keep your bias to yourself. We don't want to see it. Honestly. Because I saw an interview, basically was on this tweet. George was asked by someone, I don't know who, but somebody from Sky Sports, basically to say what he feels about the incident with Max, which was like, it's old news, bro. Shut the hell up. Nobody cares anymore. Like, everyone forgotten about it. Like, come on, move on. Move on. It's a new week. It's a new race waiting for you. Miami. Like, let's just focus on that. We don't need all carnage, all drama. Like, nobody cares, bro. Nobody gives a shit. Come on. And he said basically that it's pathetic what Max did. Like, he has this whole driver mentality and stuff like that. And he's basically... Honestly, in this interview, he's saying two things at once. He said that Max was pathetic, but at the same time, they're on good terms with each other. So, George, please just make up your mind. Make up your goddamn mind and choose one opinion that you want to portray to the, I don't know, to social media, to all media journalist and stuff like that. Like, pick one side and be there. If you hate Max, George, it's for you. Hate Max. If you don't, then say that you're on good terms and then let's just stop there. Like, I'm not encouraging hate. I'm not. I'm just saying that George needs to pick an opinion and stick with it. Because he's saying things that he's disagreeing and then agreeing with himself on different interviews. And I hate that, honestly. Like, I know they're media trained to not actually give an actual opinion. And, like, to not pick sides. Because that's what media training is. And, like, they can't say that, oh my god, I hate him so much. Or, oh my god, we're besties. I mean, they can say that they're besties. But they can't say that, oh, we're on bad terms, I hate him, like, I can't stand him, and stuff like that. But at the same time, like, don't say that it's pathetic then. Honestly. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But for some reason, I can't listen to George when he's... I need to shut the hell up probably and just go to sleep because I'm really turning into a hater for some reason. Like, I'm probably just hating on Sky Sports and their whole bias towards Mercedes. Like, I don't have nothing against Mercedes. I just don't like how George tends to, like, be this slithery little snake and just... You know, how do I put this? Just, like, slide through interviews and mix opinions and don't give an actual opinion, which I don't like. But it's not that I have something against Mercedes. It's more that I have something against Sky Sports, which is... So funny when I'm thinking about it right now, honestly, that I just realized this. This is so funny, honestly. What the hell? Anyways, I probably just need to shut the hell up about this and just keep it to myself. Because I don't actually hate Russell. I really don't. Like, I do like him. I really do. But sometimes he just... he annoys me more than others, like other drivers do for some reason. Maybe because he tends to take drivers out of tracks. I don't know, maybe. Maybe because he's committing war crimes, hate crimes. I'm joking. I'm honestly joking. But like I do like him. I really do. But as I said before, he tends to annoy me more than others do, which is my problem. It's not his. Maybe his. Maybe it's his character or something like that. But it's my problem. Anyways, let's just move on from this because it's enough. It's enough of me hating. Good morning, and let me talk my shit again. This is a quote from two songs. Don't remember the names of them, but yeah. It's morning here. I just woke up, and we're going to just continue what I talked about yesterday. Basically, no, we're just going to continue the podcast. Anyways, so I found an article on Twitter once again that Max said basically he doesn't give a shit that in Miami they shortened the arrest rate distances, which they did. So instead of, the first DRS zone has been pushed further back, faster 9, while the second now starts 525 meters after turn 16, instead of 450 meters. So, I mean, it's not a really big change, but at the same time, it is a big change for the other drivers. But for Max, he literally said that, like, he doesn't care. He said, quote unquote, "I would prefer, of course, that we could race without DRS, but that's not possible. If the car is faster, let's say when you have to come through the field from the back, it doesn't really matter how long the zone is, you will get the car ahead," end of quote. So, I mean, clearly, the Red Bull, like, is the fastest car from the field, from the grid. It makes sense that they don't care because they can overtake without DRS. They will be much faster with DRS, which we've seen already. So, I don't know. We'll see how this part changes for the other drivers, because I wasn't able to find anything yet about the other drivers, because others just said, oh, it feels good to be back racing and stuff like that. So, honestly, I didn't see anyone else talking about this DRS distance shortening. So, we'll see. Anyways, but while I'm talking about Red Bull, basically they introduced a new livery for Miami, which is, I mean, amazing, because the idea of the whole new livery was that fans could have been the ones to design the new livery for Red Bull, so they could participate in this Make Your Mark, I think it was called, the whole, like, this event. So they could design the side pod design and then participate, and then just hope that Red Bull will pick their design. So the design was picked. It looks good, honestly. It matches, like, the whole idea of Red Bull's, I don't know, constructed image of their car. It's simple. It looks good. The colors are really pretty. They look good on the Red Bull car. But at the same time, it looks mid, bro. Like, in my opinion, because I saw other people's designs, and this is no hate to the original creator, which work was chosen for the car for Miami. But, like, I saw some amazing designs under the hashtag Make Your Mark, and they picked, like, the simplest one, which makes sense because it's Red Bull, but at the same time, like, there were people who designed, like, whole buildings, whole, I don't know, trees. There were color splashes. Like, There were so many intricate and really interesting designs, and they picked the simplest one, in my opinion. But, like, at the same time, I'm torn because I do like this design, because at the start of the year, we just got a blue car, and now we have, like, a blue car with a magenta, purple, lavender, whatever you want to call it, and a blue three stripes across it. And it looks good. It looks good. It matches Miami, because I've noticed that now in Miami, there's this sort of, I don't know, color scheme where there's so much pink. Like, Hamilton was spotted wearing the pink puffy pants. Then Red Bull came out with merch, which is pink and blue. And I think there wasn't a purple one, but there was those bright pink magenta shirt from Red Bull, which I really like on Daniel, because he was wearing it in the, like, pictures where he was promoting the new merch from Red Bull. But you can't actually buy the shirt, so, like, what the hell. But yeah, anyway, the car matches the whole theme of Miami, which is so far pink and blue and, like, bright colors, which makes sense, honestly. It's USA. They like bright colors. There's Miami. I mean, there's going to be a lot of celebrities, which we've already seen, because Ocon and Magnussen, they've been spotted taking pictures with The Rock. There's also Lewis Hamilton and A$AP Rocky. They look so good, honestly, in the picture that I've seen on Twitter. Oh my god, there was someone else. There was someone else, definitely. Like, there's so many celebrities now, like, on the track, and, like, it makes sense because it's Miami and that's what Miami is for. And, like, go get the bag, I guess, in Miami, because the ticket prices are astronomical. They're astronomical, but we're not going to talk about that. Alright, sorry, never mind. I just found that Russell was also talking about the whole DRS distance reductions. He also spoke out about this. So Max wasn't the only driver who spoke out. I literally just found this, but yeah, I just wanted to correct myself. So basically, Russell said, ooh, okay, quote unquote, I think all of us didn't really understand why they've been shortened. None of us were consulted about it or asked our opinion on it, and I think the race speaks for itself in Baku. Clearly, in Baku, it was way too short. End of quote. So, Russell is not happy about it, and he's saying that, another quote, for sure we're going to speak with the FIA and F1 about this, because we want to be able to race. We want to be able to fight, as we all did in go-karts, where there was no aerodynamics to that. That's the ultimate dream. I think our sport took a really good turn for the better when these new cars were introduced, but we need to take it to the next step now. End of quote. So, I mean, it makes sense. It really makes sense that the drivers would be mad about it, because, like, if the FIA and F1, like Liberty Media, didn't consult it with the drivers, so then why? I mean, it makes sense, because so far we've seen that the FIA has been, like, really weird with its rules, and, like, I'm mainly talking about the sprint. I'm still salty about the sprint. Mainly about the sprint shootout anyways, but, like, and they've been, like, I don't know, changing things, doing things which nobody asked to do, bringing new rules, and then suddenly investigating themselves because they couldn't control a few people in the pit lane. So, I mean, don't fix what's not broken. Fix yourselves and try to fix Ferrari, because they are broken still. But at least Charles got on the podium. Yeah, at least that. Anyways, I'm getting off of topic, but yeah, I just wanted to clarify myself that Max wasn't the only one who spoke about the whole DRS thing being shortened. Also, an update on the whole Brad Pitt thing, because WTF1, they reposted Colton Herta's tweet and basically said a strong nomination for Tweet of the Year. And I replied to them and said, like, what in the world is happening? I have so many questions, like, when is he actually going to drive on track? Quali, free practices, or the actual races? If so, isn't that dangerous to release, quote-unquote, a rookie? How, just like that? How did he get his license so easily? What cars are they using? And WTF1 basically clarified a little bit of those questions for me, and they said he's driving an adapted F2 car and will be going out on track in between sessions, not at the same time as everyone else. So an adapted F2 car, first of all, what does that mean? So it's safer, first of all, I guess, and second of all, it's not as fast as an Formula One car, so once again, it's safer, and the fact that they're going to release him between sessions and not with everyone else makes it, once again, safer. So that makes sense, but I don't know where WTF1 is getting this info from, but I guess it's some good sources, some reliable sources. So I hope they talk it about on their podcasts. I don't know, maybe they will. Yeah, because for now, I don't have clarifications myself and just have to go off of the information that I see on Twitter, on other social media, because, like, nobody knows yet until it's actually happened and until we saw Brad Pitt actually driving the car. So let's just leave it as it is, because I was so mad yesterday and you probably heard it how mad I was. But yeah, now we have a little clarification, so we'll see how that goes. Also, another correction. When I said there was The Rock, like, between the celebrities, I don't know if he actually was there. I literally mistook him for Vin Diesel. I'm so sorry for that. I feel so stupid. Anyways, it wasn't The Rock, it was Vin Diesel. Yeah. Anyways, last piece of news is that basically Ferrari didn't actually manage to get the two Red Bull engineers onto their team, because it was rumored or said, or it was almost confirmed. Let's just say it was rumored that two engineers from Red Bull were on gardening leave, and then they were supposed to join Ferrari in 2024. And now, according to an Italian source, wait, I'll find the actual name if I... Gazzetta, I think it was Gazzetta. I'll try to find it and actually try to pronounce the name, because I don't want to, like, be, oh, trust me, bro, that's my source. No, it was actually written by a journalist team. Yeah, I can't find it yet. But anyway, so basically, Ferrari didn't manage to actually, like, make this deal happen. Yeah, it was Gazzetta dello Sport. That's what the source is called. I think it's a pretty reliable source, because it's a reliable source. But yeah, the negotiations with Balbo, Enrico Balbo, that's his name, and Pierre Wache, I don't know, the negotiations came to a halt when it turned out that Balbo wanted to stay in Milton Keynes, which is the whole, like, I'm forgetting words, like, anyways, it's the place where the Red Bull whole... What do I want to say even here, bro? Anyways, that's where, in Milton Keynes, that's where Red Bull is, and the two engineers wanted to stay there, so that's basically it. The negotiations, like, fell apart, and they're not joining Ferrari anymore, so that's basically it. That's all I wanted to say here. And you know what? Because I did this so early, before the weekend, we might still do Miami predictions, because honestly, why not? And let's start, who's going to get pole position in quali? And I think, honestly, I think I will give it to Charles Leclerc, because I still have hope in Ferrari. As much as I hate them, like, hate them, not the actual team, but, like, hate them for being stupid and not being able to actually have a good race to fix the issues that they have. Like, you know what I mean. I don't actually hate them. I hate that they're stupid. So, I still have hope for Leclerc because he managed to get pole position in the last race in Baku, which he is really good in Baku, but... because it's a street circuit and it's Baku, like, yeah, he's really good there. But Miami is kind of a street circuit, but at the same time, it's not. But the walls around the circuit make it seem like it is a street circuit. So, I hope... Let's hope he gets pole position in quali. So he gets to start from P1, which would be great for Ferrari. Like, oh my god, another second pole position in this season after all the troubles that they've had would be great. So, yes, for pole position, Charles Leclerc, no question. Okay, now for the podium. As I said before, Miami is kind of a street circuit, but at the same time, it's not. But the walls make it seem like it is. So that's why I think that the driver who's going to win the race in Miami is going to be Perez. So he's going to be finishing P1 because I really think that Red Bull are going... I'm joking here, clearly. But, like, I think that he's going to do something and win this race. Because I was listening to Matt and Tommy, and basically, was it they? Or was it WTF1? One of them. Like, one of them said that basically, when... Or was it... I don't know, maybe Matt and Tommy, maybe someone from WTF1, or maybe someone even from the Late Breaking podcast. I really don't remember who said it, but one of them said that basically when Perez won, Max then won the race after when Perez won. So we've already seen that this season, and basically I think that maybe Perez this time could pull it off like two times in a row and pull a Nico Rosberg at the end of the year, which is, I'm getting way ahead of myself because we are predicting podiums here. But honestly, I think that Perez is capable of pulling off another P1 finish, another win here in Miami. So I really hope that actually happens. Then, as far as Max goes, I think it's still going to be a Red Bull 1-2 because, like, I mean, come on, that's the norm. That's the norm this season so far until, like, the actual wind tunnel reduced time kicks in for Red Bull. We don't know what will happen after that, but, like, still, the Red Bulls are really the fastest car this year, and I don't know how much the reduced wind tunnel time will hit them. But, yeah, anyways, so 1-2 for Red Bull, Perez in P1, P2 Max, then P3, I think it's going to be George Russell for some reason. Like, I have this weird feeling that it's going to be George. Because, like, he's in the spotlight. He's like talking so much. And it's maybe because it maybe it's the fact that I've seen so much of him. Like, he's been the talking point after the incident with Max. And I feel like he's going to try to do something to get, like, his... to get his ego up. Like, I don't know. Maybe I put it too harsh, but he's definitely trying something. I feel like he is. And honestly, I hope he is, because I hate him. Like, he's annoying. As I said before in this episode, he's annoying. But at the same time, I love it that he's so annoying. Like, I love the drama with Max. I hate it, but at the same time, I love it. Like, oh my god. I hope he finishes in P3. I really hope he does. And now, the quote-unquote the disappointment of the family, which I wanna call, like, the biggest flop, like, the one who's going to be doing something that they're not supposed to do or going off track and, like, you know, like, the disappointment of the family, as I want to call them. And I think it's going to be DeVries again. It's either DeVries or Yuki, because AlphaTauri had been, like, They're becoming something which I don't want them to become. They're becoming the new Williams, whatever you want to call it. Like, they're... I don't know what they're doing. The fact that it's a Red Bull sister team makes it even worse. But I'm getting off of topic once again. But yeah, the disappointment of the family is going to be DeVries. I'm leaning more towards DeVries for some reason. I don't know why, but he's been weird this season, and I think it's going to be him. He's going to go either off track or, yeah, I don't know. And also, I might add to that, I don't want to jinx it. I really don't want to jinx it, but at the same time, I'm hoping that they're not going to be, which okay, I first need to say it. I think the disappointment of the family might be one of the Aston Martins also. Because, like, the issues with DRS last time that they've had, I don't think that they... I'm being too negative here. I don't need to jinx it. I probably need to, like, cross this out of my notes, that they're going to be the disappointment of the family, because I really don't want them to be the disappointment of the family. But, like, I think the, like, Aston Martin, like, whole image of them being the third fastest car is slowly falling off, because others are developing and bringing upgrades and being, like, they're slowly fixing their problems, while Aston Martin is just slowly leveling out with the others. And it's slowly happening. Like, you can tell. Like, the DRS problems are the first main, like, whole thing that literally points the fact that it's happening. Points to the fact that it's happening. So, yeah. I think DeVries and one of the Aston Martins are going to be the disappointment of the family. DeVries have this feeling. Aston Martin also this kind of vibe. I don't know. But I really hope it doesn't actually happen. But it's still in my notes, and we'll talk about it after Miami, and we'll see if it actually happened or it didn't. Alright, so that's it. Thank you so much for listening. If you actually made it this far... And we'll see you after Miami. I'll let you interpret that however you want it, but I hope it's going to be we, not I, after Miami. But we'll see. I don't want to hype anything too much, but we'll see. So yes, once again, thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. Bye!